Hello, Marvel fans, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. In today's episode, we're talking about the third episode of Moon Knight. No non-spoiler segment today. We still love it, highly recommend it, so give it a watch if you haven't yet. With that, we're just going to jump straight into it. All right, so the episode starts with Layla getting a counterfeit passport. And they don't actually say her name out loud, but if you're watching the subtitles, the person she's getting it from, Legaro is the woman's name. I actually looked that up. I think that's a reference to an Egyptian superhero from the comics by the name of, what's his name? Dynaman.
So. Dino Man or Dyna Man?
Dyna Man.
Dyna. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not really anything else. There's just a little Easter egg they threw in.
That's cool.
But yeah, it would make sense to be a nod to him. He's an Egyptian superhero. His name is Legaro, like his alias. Uh-huh. So
okay.
Nice little nod.
That is. That's pretty sweet. So the woman herself, was she her stepmom or her mom? Like she. I got the vibe that
any family relation there. Like she knew Layla's father. So Layla's father was the one who taught her how to do that, how to do the counterfeiting. So just like a friend of the family. Seems like a very close friend of the family.
But maybe I read that wrong, because the way that the woman is talking about it, it just seemed like she was really, really close with her dad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was a cool scene. I like seeing like the process of kind of making like counterfeit passports and all that. Like it was interesting. It was really cool little opening. And I enjoy the character of Layla herself. I think she's solid. And she really shined in this episode, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And in that beginning scene, we actually do get another Easter egg. I will admit this one I did not find out on my own. Stumbled across it online. So there is a character in the comics called Scarlet Scarab, and that character also got his beginnings as an archaeologist. So the theory is that Layla's father was Scarlet Scarab, so she is the daughter of Scarlet Scarab. Maybe she'll get his powers eventually. I don't remember exactly what it is, like super strength, yeah, pretty generic powers, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, not only did Scarlet Scarab get his start as an archaeologist, his name in the comics is Abdul Fowl. And Layla's maiden name, middle slash last, I don't know what it would be called in her culture, was Abdallah Al-Fowley, which is very similar to Abdul Fowl. Right.
It is. Yeah.
So very similar there. Also her father's nickname for her was Little Scarab. So it seems pretty strong evidence that her father was Scarlet Scarab. So I don't know what that means. Might be nothing. We might get like a flashback and see that he was Scarlet Scarab. I don't know, but it also seems like because we find out that that her father was an archaeologist and that he was killed off when they were in Egypt. It's very similar to the backstory of I'm trying to remember her name, Marlene Alrone from the comics, which is Mark's lover from the comics. So they have a very similar backstory. Both have fathers that were archaeologists. Marlene from the comics used a 44 Magnum pistol. And later on in the episode, we see Layla pick up a pistol in that like final fight towards the end. I tried to figure out what kind of gun it was. I am not an expert on guns by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, it looked like a 44 Magnum pistol.
Oh, no, it wasn't a Magnum. It was just like a Colt 45 or something like that. Like, it was just a regular...
Like I said, no expert.
Regular handgun. I'm not either. But a Magnum has a barrel. Like, and, you know. But that was like a regular style pistol.
Yeah. I looked up some pictures with some chrome on it. Similar, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because when I think of 44 Magnum, I think of Dirty Harry. Yeah. And Eastwood. Yeah. Yeah.
That was what the first revolver looked like.
Yeah, it's a revolver.
Yeah, some other ones. Anyway. Okay. So it's not the same type of gun. Thought there might be a connection there. It still could be. I don't know if that was the only gun that Marlene ever used, but that's at least what was listed in the Marvel fandom page for her character.
Nice.
But anyway, so there's some connections there. So yeah. So I was thinking that you know, she might just be the Marlene equivalent, but now that we have that Scarlet Scarab reference, seems like that's probably why they changed her name, because I was like, you know, why didn't they just go with Marlene? And now it makes sense, because Marlene's father was not Scarlet Scarab, so if they want to actually do something with that, it makes sense that they would change her name.
Yeah,
so I think that kind of explains what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
My mind.
Good detective work. Yeah, they're going somewhere for sure. I mean, and they showed off some skills this episode as well. So she can do, she has handguns, so she has weapons training. We see her use another weapon, which was a surprise for me when she took the chess piece off and detached it and then impaled the guy.
Necklace thing, yeah.
Pretty sweet. And again, that could be, I didn't dig, and you just told me about the scarab. That could be something, maybe that using some sort of weaponry that way could be something she was passed down from her father, like disguising weapons and detaching them and using them in the moment that they need it. It's kind of similar to Moon Knight too. I mean, he takes it, detaches it from his chest, his blades. And again, I feel like he inherently infuses things from her because he's in love with her, whether he realizes it or not. I mean, they give the example of the book and everything and the French. So there's some parallels there for sure. And they're going to expand on it. I mean, these characters are here to stay, I feel like, unless they die at some point in the season. We'll see. Not Moon Knight, but anyone else, you know, who knows. I still think this season can go in multiple directions. You know, it didn't quite close out like we were talking about. We're like, man, that'd be crazy if it just closed out this third episode or whatever. We're going to do that, but if it just became a whole different thing the last three episodes, no, you know, it they did more story. We got to dive into the gods. I mean, I can't get over what did Khonshu do that was so bad where they absolutely despise him? Like they despise him. I know they kind of like talked about it a little bit, but it seems to me that Khonshu does care about human beings, at least
for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not only like, you know, the evidence that we've been provided as far as like, you know, him trying to help people and all that, but also the fact that he is like his only good friend among the Aeneid group of gods is the goddess of love
and music,
right?
And
right? So I mean, that's like,
it's true,
she's your only friend, you're probably doing something right, probably a good guy, you know.
Pretty black and white, but yeah, you're right, it's true. They did that on purpose. They did that on purpose, and he helped her, or she helped him out, and I love that whole scene. I thought that was awesome. You know, obviously it was done on a set and everything, but like to be inside the period of Giza, like it was so cool. It was awesome. And having the whole kind of like meeting of the gods, and they're just straight like not cool at all. Like just mean. Like, of course, you know, like what would you expect? Egyptian gods. And I just, you know.
I mean, I don't know what Hanshu must have done before, but I mean, in this episode, he causes an eclipse, and then he changes the night sky to match what it was, you know, thousands of years ago.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was an awesome visual. Loved it. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's the kind of stuff that he's doing now. So what could he have done back then to make them so upset? I mean, it wouldn't take much, right? Because their whole policy is that they want to observe and do nothing else. So any kind of interference by him is going to get him not necessarily banished, but they're not going to be happy about it. I mean, it could just be, you know, bringing Mark back to life, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
instead of just letting a human being have it. Yep, that's true. That is more than, that's meddling, you know, and things that, yeah, because they could think of it, oh, you're doing this for selfish reasons. And that's kind of what Arthur is spinning, that Khonshu is doing this for himself. He's self-serving and he's just, you know, terrible. Like they made us kind of believe it a little bit at one point in the second episode. But now I don't believe it. I'm just more curious. What did he do? Like they didn't even like really want to, they almost didn't want to give him a chance like at all. Like they were not about it. And they cut it short. I think they cut it a little too short. Like
they absolutely did. Because like Mark took it over and then he started making an actually pretty good case.
Yeah.
It sounded very reasonable and they were like, nope, we're done here. Just
and they just zap out and they leave. And I'm like, okay.
Like before that, Khonshu was not doing himself any favors. He was like, I'm not crazy. You guys are crazy. Listen to me. Yeah. Why aren't you listening to me? Like,
he's angry, but for, you know,
which is weird for his character, because like every other time we see him, he's like never yelling. He's very like calm and authoritative. And then when he's in the presence of the other gods, he's just like losing it and just sounds desperate and like,
you know, I know, right? They bring out the worst in him for sure.
Yeah.
But that was so funny how he's like, Mark's like, you're not coming with me? When the door opens to the portal, they go to the pyramid. And he's like, he just turns back and walks down. Yeah, he just walks out that, I'll be there. And then you think in your mind, oh, he's going to like, you know, be sitting on the ledge like he's been doing every episode, like observing and whatnot. No, he just straight up talks through Mark and like really intense, like you said, and just not chill. And like, you want them to take you seriously, man. Like you want to seem like you're not like crazy right now. And then they really brought it down on, it was sad. Like they really brought it down on Mark and Steve and questioned his ability as a human. And, you know, hey, you know, you're not doing well. You need to start thinking about that before you're coming up here and, you know, making accusations about this other guy, you know. And that was cruel. Like they're kind of not, you know, and they didn't, aside from the one god that we, the goddess, you know, that was obviously helping Khonshu and helping Mark and Steve, you know, it was just like no empathy, no, like they're like, man, you're we're not going to take you seriously because you're not doing well, so peace. It's like the guy's risking his entire life, you know, to come here and do this and try to save the world, to save all these people. And you're like, I question your credibility because you're not well. And that's just, you know, just because someone's not well doesn't mean they're not telling the truth. So.
Yeah, it was not fair to Mark at all. They were being complete jerks about it. And he was trying to be very reasonable. Like, yes, like he came right out and said, yes, there are some things wrong with me. Yes, I need help, but this is not about me. Like, let's focus on what we're here to talk about. This is the guy that's being accused is over there. Let's take the camera, you know, spotlight off of me for a second. So he was playing it very reasonably. He did exactly what he should have. And they just didn't care. Which made me wonder, honestly, like, is Osiris in on it? Like, is he in cahoots with Ahmet?
Wow.
You know, because so I was a little unclear as to who was whose avatar. I actually found a little bit of a mistake when they when all of the avatars entered and they were like, you know, doing their like body jerk thing to like indicate that the gods were possessing them. The guy that I'm pretty sure was the avatar for Osiris did the little body jerk thing for both Osiris and Isis. If you watch it, you can see it. He actually does it twice. So, or sorry, not. I think the proper way, the way they pronounce it in the episode is Isis, right? So he did he did the body jerk for both of them. And speaking of the pronunciation, I had a really hard time figuring out the proper way to pronounce Isis. And I'm not even sure that's right, because I found like five different pronunciations for that one Egyptian god, and it was all in reference to that Egyptian god. Right. And none of them matched the pronunciation that they used in the episode.
You went like on howtopronounce.com and all that, and it was just like all these different...
I did that for a lot of these, a lot of these names. There are so many new characters that trying to get the pronunciation right.
Right.
And they said Isis in the episode.
We're trying.
I try.
Yeah. Yeah, at least you tried. A lot of people wouldn't. I you know, I probably wouldn't have, you know, I just ask, hey, how do you pronounce that? And then you hear it that way, then you just try, and then you butcher it still.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whatever. You know, at least you try.
But anyway, like I said, it's unclear, but I'm pretty sure he was supposed to be the avatar of Osiris, because he's kind of the leader, and yeah, that would make sense.
100%.
So the avatar of Osiris was just he was the one who like cut it off and just said we're done here, like after Mark made a very reasonable argument. Yeah, I don't know, it was just very suspicious the way that it ended. Everybody else just kind of played along with it. I mean, he's kind of the boss, they just follow him unless they have like strong objections, I guess, which I'm a little surprised that Hathor didn't try to, and I did not verify the pronunciation of that. I'm pretty sure it's wrong, but I'm surprised she didn't speak up. But maybe it's because she knows better. Like, she would rather do things behind the scenes than, you know, openly object to them, because she knows that's not going to go well for her.
Exactly, that's what I was
probably
thinking.
What happened?
Yeah, that's exactly.
But yeah, it just didn't really make sense, especially because you know, if Ahmet was, you know, Ahmet was banished, right? So they had a very good reason for it, and they do not want Ahmet coming back. So if they really cared and wanted to make sure that that wasn't going to come to fruition, that Ahmet was not going to be freed, then they would actually give some care and attention, and at least, you know, try to verify what each of them is saying before just giving up, because literally all they would have to do is go to the desert where Ahmet was buried, and they see this whole crew of people trying to dig him up, and it would take very little effort on their part. I mean, they could, you know, open a portal and have one of their avatars go there in a couple of seconds, and I'm sure some of them probably have, you know, some kind of power that lets them see anywhere. You know, I'm sure. I mean, they're gods.
They're Egyptian
gods. One of
them
has to have that ability.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They could very easily verify it. And they're just like, nope. So, I mean, the fact that they put so little effort into verifying it and they didn't let Mark speak, it just, I feel like some one or more of them has to be in cahoots with Ahmet.
So there was one god?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But you make a really good point, and I agree with you. And it seems like the... when you mentioned why didn't she, I was trying to think of someone that did. In correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the god that was standing to the right of the leader, wasn't he kind of like giving him a chance a little bit and like kind of asking him like more of the right questions and not being as aggressive with them? I feel like there was one that was like kind of like being
thing on his right,
neutral,
or our right.
Yeah, his right, like in his work, like in
yeah,
that reality, yep. In that reality.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what happened, but yeah, the guy to his right did seem more reasonable. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he seemed more open and then just kind of went along with what Osiris, you know, commanded.
For sure. So can I ask you this too? So Ahmet, like, she can only speak through Arthur and talk to Arthur because he's the avatar. how would she be talking to the other god if she's gone? Like, she's dormant and she's away, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe Arthur's talked to him. Maybe Arthur's talk already had a meeting with the gods well before Mark and Khonshu decided to do it.
I mean, maybe it has something to do with the staff. Maybe there's some dormant power in there that allows, you know, some kind of mental link between Arthur and Amit or something. Not really sure.
I do have one thought that kind of debunks it a little bit. It was the ending scene when Arthur kind of waited for him to leave before he started talking to Khonshu. Like, he like looked to the side and like made sure that like he walked away. So like, if he was working with him, he wouldn't care at all just to say what he wanted in front of him.
Right? Fair point. I mean, my other theory was that it was just lazy writing, but I really don't want to say that because I've really been enjoying the show so much.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but yeah, it's been good in my opinion at least. So yeah, I've been really hooked by the writing and where it's going, and it's kept me really interested because it's just it's they're telling a really cool, interesting story. And of course you love, even though a lot of it's in studios and different locations, but I love when they globetrot. So it was awesome going to Egypt and, you know, all of it. And I really enjoyed the set pieces of this episode a lot. I really enjoyed when they were on the little boat going to the guy, he had like his own makeshift museum, basically, of all these artifacts that he got. What was his name?
Anton.
Yeah. And by the way, rest in peace, that actor.
Yeah,
he passed away. I read about that, and then some time passed, I was reminded of it again at the end of the episode. I'd imagine he's going to be in it again at some point. I mean, they kind of left that open ended. He got
right. He was attacked by Moon Knight, then he went off screen, so we don't know if he's alive or dead. I mean, we're not going to see him for season two.
Yeah, so they're going to have to close it out in some way, you know. I mean, hopefully they don't leave it at that, but I would like to get a little bit more with that character.
Me too. That character is actually in the comics. So Anton is his alias. The masked identity is Midnight Man.
Oh. Okay. So he's kind of like is he kind of like an Indiana Jones type? Because that's kind of what I've been getting from Layla. She gives me like Indiana Jones vibes. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he seems to be the more dishonorable of
them. Well, yeah, like, no, he's not giving it to the museum. He's giving it to himself.
Layla. Yeah, he's keeping it. Whereas Layla is returning it to the rightful owners for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But yeah, as far as Midnight Man's abilities, he's just like a master thief and, is a martial artist expert, martial arts expert.
Nice.
That's it. He doesn't have any like superpowers. He wears a costume and he's just, you know, highly trained human.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of those in Marvel, so for sure it works.
A lot of those in this show, even.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, in the action was awesome again. They showed some bone breaking too. Mm-hmm. That was they're definitely getting brutal with it for sure. Because I was trying to think in my mind after that. Yeah, right. And I was trying to think after it, I was like, have we seen any broken, like straight up broken arms? And not like a funny way, like in like an action way. And I'm sure we have. I couldn't really think of it.
You mean in Disney?
Or like, well, just in Marvel.
The Marvel stuff from Disney.
Yeah.
None that I can think of.
Like straight up, like you see it. I mean, they'll never show like as graphic as some movies have been.
Actually seeing the bone. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like exaggerating it.
I don't even remember which part you're talking about. I mean, I assume it's during that scene with all the guys on horseback.
Yep. Right? It's in the ring. The like horse ring. Yeah. Like it was just really fast. I'm pretty sure he like broke someone's arm straight up.
I mean, he was breaking a lot of spears. I don't know if he broke somebody's arm. I mean, I'm sure you're right. There was a lot going on there, so I didn't catch it all.
There was. It was awesome, though. It was such a cool scene.
Yeah, that was the first time that we really, really got to see Moon Knight in action. I mean, we saw him in episode 2 when he was running from the Jackal. But I said it when we talked about episode 2, I was disappointed. I wanted more, and now we got more. We got like a full-blown fight scene with Moon Knight showing off all of his powers. And we also got one of my questions answered from the last episode, because I was pointing out that we did see Mr. Knight. We did see that he has super strength, but we didn't get definitive proof that Moon Knight has super strength as well. But now we did, for sure. He has super strength. Because he was just like, you know, just doing a little gentle push and then somebody would go flying away.
Yeah.
So definitely has super strength. And he's different from the comics version of Moon Knight too, because he has the ability to heal, like on command. Like he has a healing factor. And as far as I could find, that's not consistent with the comics. Like he's just a normal human, basically. Like he has, you know, Kevlar armor. So, you know, he can take some hits, but underneath he's still just a normal human. If he dies, he gets resurrected, but he doesn't actually heal per se. But this version of him apparently does. Like he gets healed by the costume.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, the suit.
Logan, watch out. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did notice that too, and I was like, nice. Another part of the action scene that was sweet was when he like took the cape around her to protect her, and then they're just shooting the bullets, and then he just turned it around and just whipped the cape, and the bullets all just went straight back at everybody and just nailed them.
I thought those were glaives that he was throwing out.
He was throwing those too, but there was a scene where
they were shooting. I know the moment that you're talking about. I thought those were moon glaives though, but I don't know. It happened so quickly.
I'm going to go back and watch just the fight scene. It's just beat by beat.
There was a freeze frame in there too, where they showed his cape, like the full blown cape in the like crescent moon shape, like the iconic Moon Knight cape, the way it's supposed to be seen.
Really so cool shot. Would you, it was an awesome shot. Would you consider that the first glide?
No, I would not.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it. It was still a pretty quick fall. You know, glide would be like jumping a long distance and, you know, I mean, like think of like flying squirrels, you know, that's a glide. If you've ever seen that, you know, they have.
I haven't seen that. I want to, though.
Oh, yeah. Look up flying squirrels. They
go I've seen it online. I haven't seen it in real life, but yeah. I would like to see it in real life. I think you are right, though. I think it was just the glaives. I probably thought that in my brain, but that's like much cooler to me. So I'm just going to act like that actually happened. And he spun all the bullets back to them.
Yeah.
Like Neo.
As cool as that would be, I don't really see him capable of that, because like he was getting shot a whole bunch and his cape was getting pierced and stuff. He doesn't seem to have super speed, and to catch all those bullets and throw them back, you would need super speed, right?
So it's weird because I just looked at it again, because he does this move where he like goes down and then like jumps, and all the bullets, like everyone drops from the bullets.
Moon glaze. I really feel like it's moon glaze, because like he can grab them from his chest. So if he's like ducking like that and like puts his hands on his chest, he can just like, you know, throw his arm out and just throw like a whole bunch of moon glaives in that one motion there.
Look at it and let me know later. But it's because he leaps down and catches the bullets, but then they like, I think they ricochet. I don't know if he like throws it. Like I think that's where I'm messing it up.
Anyway, I'll have to look at it again.
My
guess is moon glaives, but it would be cool if it was bullets, and that would actually really change the character a lot, in my opinion.
There's some sort of deflecting. That's what I was driving at. The point I was trying to drive at is like, does he have some sort of ability to like deflect?
Like, not just bullets,
but like objects. Yeah,
so no, that's why. Shortly after that, he gets shot a bunch. There's a whole bunch of holes in his cape, and they even pointed out later in the episode when he's in the car with Layla. He was that was my favorite suit, or that was my favorite jacket, or something like that. And it has a whole bunch of holes in it. He just has to get rid of it now.
That's true.
So doesn't seem to be any ability to reflect. I mean, not like unconsciously. Maybe there's like some kind of power that he can activate to reflect it, but he definitely didn't do it for the majority of that fight.
Right.
But yeah, that's true. Have to go back and rewatch that moment. But
I hope there's another ability that they do that's not in the comics as well. One funny part though, I loved when he switched to Steven, and he's like, "All right, guys, everybody, just chill that out. Just chill that out." Like,
I know.
He's the one. He's the one, like, getting everybody. Like, they're having a hard time with him, and yeah. Like they're trying to get him to stop, and then he's like, "All right, guys, all right, let's take it down a notch. Like, chill that out." I love
time
that
out,
part.
Time out.
It was so good.
Like, I know. I love it. It was so unnecessary and really didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm glad they put it in there. It's so funny.
It was funny. It was, again, the comedic relief that we get hit with. Like, they do the violence. You know, we got Moon Knight. Still haven't got enough Moon Knight, in my opinion. And, you know, they give us Moon Knight. He's just killing it. And then they just got to drop us, boom, with Steven. Just give us the comedic relief for a moment, you know, and it just hit so hard. And then it's like back to Moon Knight again.
It's time out. Impaled by spirit. Take your body back.
Could you imagine how terrified you'd be to be like one of those men? Like, not only are you just getting your butt kicked, and then he just transforms into another version that's like telling you like to stop. And then you're like, oh. And then he transforms into another one that's just about to do it again, like about to kick your butt again. I would be so terrified. I would be like, I don't know. No, I'm out of here. See ya.
Yeah. Not only scared, but just like really confused and not really sure what to do.
Yeah. I'd be like,
but as far as they know, he seems vulnerable, right? Because they shot him. They saw the bullets penetrate him. So as far as they know, he seems vulnerable. And they also just like impale that one guy with the spear, and he's clearly hurting because he wants the other guy to come back out. Exactly. So they're like, all right, this guy's vulnerable. We can do something about it. But then nope, just hulks out, smashes all the spears and kills all of them in like 2 seconds flat.
at least 2 seconds.
Most.
One thing I wanted to bring to your attention and ask you is, did you catch the foreshadowing of a potential new personality
I wouldn't say potential. They flat out said it.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to be light about it, but yeah, no,
there's definitely another personality. My question though, so it's one of three possibilities. So first possibility, I know his name is Jake, but I can't remember.
Jake Lockley. I remember now because I was like, this episode, I'm not going to say Jack. This episode, I'm going to say Jake.
Jake Lockley. So that's possibility number one, which I don't think is likely because he is a cab driver. He is not, you know, a mass serial killer. You know, he's not just going to go around murdering people. That's not his MO.
He did end up in a cab.
Yeah, but Steven was the one that got him there.
Yeah, it's true. But that was in the moment that there was something going on where that was, and that there was another one that was taking over.
That was after the cab. But yes, it was around the same time. So anyway, that's possibility number one, that it's Jake Lockley, which I don't think is the case. Possibility number two is that it's a completely new personality that is not from the comics that they're just inventing for the show, which I am totally down for.
Yeah, me too.
Or possibility number three, Khonshu took over his body.
Oh,
because
boom.
Because we do see a few new powers from Khonshu in this episode. So the two obvious ones, he's able to change the sky. Not only that, but related to that, he remembers every single night, which in my opinion is a power by itself. Like having that kind of knowledge is...
In that memory,
knowledge is power, you know, that's a saying for a reason.
100%. Yeah.
So he's got all that knowledge, and then he can cause an eclipse. So those are the obvious ones. And then the there was only one that was kind of subtle. The other one, he can speak through Mark, like he can make Mark talk with his own words, right? So he can force him to say things. And then the other one, which was a little bit subtle and maybe debatable, he can also force Mark's body to move how he wants it to. Because when he was in the chamber with the gods, there was that moment when Arthur was in there and he was taunting Khonshu and, you know, saying that Mark was unstable and all that stuff. And then the body punched Arthur. So the question is, who was in control at that time? And it, based on the order of events, they didn't actually let Mark speak until after that. So it seems like Khonshu was probably in control, which means Khonshu can make Mark do things. So, I mean, if he could control him there, feasibly he could control him any other time. So he could have been the one who's been responsible for all the killing blackouts that have happened since episode one. Because that was a big change in, you know, how we thought about Mark. Because they said, like, Mark said that he was not the one that killed all those people. And in this episode, he said that, you know, if he wasn't the one who killed them in this episode, he's probably not the one who killed them in the other episodes. Because every time that we've seen Mark in control and he's fighting people, he actively tries to not kill people. Because like there's that knife scene on the rooftop and he just like that like boy that he's fighting, he just like slaps him instead of punching him because he doesn't.
That was good. That was good.
And you know, he has all these knives available to him. He could definitely kill all these people, but he lets them all live. He deliberately tries not to kill them. Later on, he ends up killing them.
Yeah, but they came back, you know. I mean,
actually, wait a minute. So when he killed them later, that was when he blacked out,
right? Yeah.
So when he was actually conscious, he never killed them.
Yeah, he saw them in the. But then when he got out of the cab,
he saw them in the alley. They were alive, and then he blacked out at that point. And then after his blackout, two of them were dead. And then
they're on the roof.
Just had the boy left.
That's right.
They were on like the cliff top, right?
The cliff top, correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. So then even then, you know, Mark is not trying to kill the kid. He's trying to get information out of him. And then he holds him over the edge of the cliff. And then the kid cuts his own scarf. So I would not even, you know, I would not argue that Mark killed him. The kid killed himself because he didn't want to give the information up. Right. So even then, Mark didn't kill him. So maybe there's somebody that I'm forgetting about, but I don't think Mark has actually killed anybody that we know of. It seems like it's this other personality that's been doing all the killing.
So fair point.
It could very well be Khonshu taking control of his body. But I also don't really believe that so much, because if Khonshu could have taken control of his body, there are a lot of other situations where it seems like he would have done it if he could have.
Could have.
Because he's saying like, oh no, the idiot's in control.
Yeah.
He's, you know. So there are a lot of other times that he seems like the Avatar's not doing what he wants. So if he could take control, why wouldn't he? So maybe he was only able to take control in the Pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid of Giza, where they have that meeting, just because there's some kind of like spiritual power in that area that allows him to take full control of the body. You know, maybe that's what's going on. So maybe he can't actually take full control outside of there. So
yeah,
I don't think it's Khonshu taking control during all those blackouts. I don't think it's Jake Lockley. So I think it's a third yet to be identified personality. So there's long-winded explanation.
No, and it's good. You made a lot of fair points with about Khonshu taking over, and it was interesting. I hadn't really considered it, but I think I'm leaning more towards it being, like you said, a third undiscovered one yet. And I am leaning towards that it's a one, like a new one they're creating for the MCU. Yeah, that's what I think the move is for sure. But we'll find out. And again, I that visual of them like shifting the night sky was so cool. It was like, just call an astronomer, but like, this is way cooler. This is like television movies. Like, sure, you could probably find it somewhere, like what that night was back in the day, but like, no, like no, let's just let's turn the sky. Like, it was visually so cool.
But
and I loved it.
I think, like, what is actually going on there? Because if he is actually, like, legitimately changing what they're seeing in the sky,
yeah,
then he's moving, you know, the universe around, mm-hmm. right? Like, all the stars, all the planets that are up mm-hmm. there, like, he's moving all of them to make that happen. So I mean, that would have catastrophic consequences if that was actually what was happening. So I think it's just a visual thing. It's
got yeah, like a projection. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
It's got to be.
100%. Yeah. No,
that's also like way beyond the scope of what his power set seems to be.
Yeah.
So true. Same with the eclipse. Like, there's no way he's actually moving the moon to eclipse mm-hmm. the sun. Seems like it's just a visual thing.
I mean, it affected the people in the area. They're all seeing it.
Right. Visual for everybody.
For everybody in the, yeah.
But like, if he was actually
moving, physically move it, that would yeah.
have a lot of consequences.
For sure. Definitely.
Tidal waves, for starters.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think of that movie Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey. when he's trying to like lasso the moon in because he's like trying to make the space all nice for him and his wife.
Yeah, kind of and like the romance style.
Yeah, he just like pulls in and then he sees the repercussions of that the next day. That was so good.
I wonder if that's a reference to It's a Wonderful Life.
Huh. Yeah, because possibly
because they talk about lassoing the moon.
Yes,
a couple of references to that.
There you go.
Speaking of random references, there's another one. I don't know if this is actually, if there's any kind of connection here, but I hope there is kind of. I haven't found one yet, but Aladdin, because the scarab, the like compass scarab, is used to find the burial site of Ahmet, similar to how the scarab in Aladdin is used to find the Cave of Wonders.
Okay.
So I haven't really found a direct connection other than that so far.
Disney.
So Disney. That's exactly why I was thinking there's got to be something here, but yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but maybe. So we got a bunch of new characters introduced. So we've got all these avatars. So we've got the avatar of Hathor. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's either Hathor or Hathor. I don't remember, but the second H is silent. And then we've got the avatar of Horus, avatar of Isis, avatar of Tefnut, and then the avatar of Osiris. So those are all the gods that are in play, aside from the two that we already knew about, Ahmet and Khonshu. So those are all the gods that are probably going to have a part in this first season.
Oh, yeah.
So Horus, the avatars of Horus, Isis, and Tefnut don't seem to really be doing a whole lot, but it seems like Osiris is probably going to, you know, have a hand in things. And then Hathor is probably going to, you know, battle alongside Khonshu, or at least mm-hmm. help Mark free Khonshu or something along those lines. Speaking of Hathor, I found possibly an Easter egg, or like a little hit, I guess you could call it an Easter egg. So when they're on the boat on their way to meet up with Anton Mogart, there's some music playing on the boat, and it just so happens to be a song that was played on their wedding night, on Mark and Layla's wedding night. And just the fact that Hathor is the goddess of music and love just seems like too big of a coincidence. I feel like, you know, she somehow made that happen.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
she's looking out for him. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And see something in Khonshu that the others don't. And we'll see what happens. Poor Khonshu, though, the end didn't work out for him too much. He unfortunately... And I swear, I thought Arthur was going to grab it and, like, smash it. I thought he was going to grab it and just smash it, and then they were going to cut it. It's like, oh, man. But no, he put it back.
So too.
Yeah, he put it back.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, oh, here we go. See you, Khonshu. All right. Mark's on his own. Steve's on his own. And
it made sense that he didn't smash it, because this is me trying to give credit to the writers. It would have been really poor writing, I think, if he smashed it and somehow there were no consequences. Because if he smashes it, like, oh, who was last alone with Khonshu's idol here? Like, oh, okay, I guess we should have believed Khonshu from the beginning. Clearly, you're trying to free Amit, so we're gonna stop you. End of season.
the jig is up. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, what else is going on here? I mean, we talked about majority.
Yeah, we covered a lot of the main beats for sure. I can't think of anything that we might have left out.
Yeah, I'm just going through my notes here. See if there's anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it had everything you wanted. It pushed the story forward. It had great action. You know, there was less Steve in this one, a little bit more Mark. Visually, it was amazing. Again, and they're just keeping the audience in the right place right now. I think that this honestly is one of the best paced shows out of the bunch we've gotten so far. That's just my opinion. I really think they're doing a solid job with the balance of the action and the drama of the story and the complexity of the character and knowing the right times to introduce who and to give time to which person, which character. They're crushing it, in my opinion. I really, really adore this show. And it's the only thing of the year so far, but it's my favorite thing. I know it doesn't count, but I really love it a lot. And it's going to be hard for the rest of the shows this year to stack up for me for this one. Because we're already halfway through. It's crazy.
It's a very strong start for sure. Yeah. Since we're halfway through with this, that means only 3 weeks until Doctor Strange.
Woo! I know. We got those tickets. We're ready to go. 7 o'clock Friday night. Lock in. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Lock in.
Yep. It's going to go by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blink and it's going to be over. We're going to be like, whoa. All right. My expectations has arrived. Yes. I did watch the new clip you mentioned, the one with the dream like song. It was really cool. Like a 40 second clip. Awesome. That was really cool. They like dubbed the music to the action. It was just like intense and I'm loving it. And I'm really honestly, I guess I had one new thought. I really am thinking that this movie is going to be a lot of Wanda. Like, I think there's going to be more Wanda in this movie than we really think. Like, they really should have just called it Doctor Strange and Wanda in the in the Multiverse of Madness. I'm just starting to get that feeling because I there's going to be a major development for her in this.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got at least three different versions of Doctor Strange and at least three different versions of Wanda.
Right. So. At least.
Yeah.
So Doctor Strange, we'll see how much it, you know, pushes his character forward and what it does to him. It's going to shake him, of course. But if I had to take a guess before we see it, I think the most dramatic effect is going to be her. I think that's going to be the biggest push and a change. So we'll see. I think it's going to shift the phase. And I think that it's going to bring something more to the table. Hopefully. And I really think it just blows us all away. I hope. And if not, hey, whatever. And Thor will be here in a month and change after that. And where's the trailer? Come on, Marvel, please. We need it. I mean,
we'll probably get it in the beginning of Doctor Strange.
I think we're getting it in the next week.
Think so?
Yeah, I think we're getting it very soon. I think it's impending, like week, 2 weeks max, at least. I mean, I think they want it to be before.
I'm saying 3 weeks. Like at the beginning of Doctor Strange, like in the theater. mean,
that would be incredible.
Why not,
but
why not wait just a little bit more to make that happen?
They haven't done that. They haven't done that yet. They've only because I've waited for that and they haven't done that yet. They've only put a trailer twice now as the post credit. They did Doctor Strange for No Way Home, and then they did the Avengers trailer for I think it was Captain America First Avenger. I'm pretty sure it was Captain America First Avenger. They showed us like an Avengers trailer at the end as a post credit. Cause it was like, it kind of like flowed with like, he broke out and he was in modern New York City. And then that's when they put it, yeah.
I don't remember, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I'm like 98% sure. But I do know like they have not put a trailer to like hook us in the beginning. The trailer's always been a trailer that's already released online, because they, you got to think like they love the hype. They love the trending. They love watching that like count go up on YouTube into the millions and record breaking time. Like they love doing that. So, and they love the one thing I have seen them do is they definitely navigate what big trailers are releasing for other things. And because they want to take the day, they want to take the whole day for sure. And they even want to take the day from themselves. Like they would never drop it the same day as Moon Knight, because they want the whole day to be about Moon Knight. So it wasn't going to be today. I knew that. I think it's going to be within the next week. I think it potentially is going to be tomorrow. My two guesses are tomorrow or Monday. Those are my two guesses. I hope, please. We need it so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw a recent like drawing of, and it was real, it was 100% real, of Christian Bale as the God Butcher, and
yeah,
it's definitely too. You saw it too, it's definitely a different take than what he looks like in the comics. I think it's gonna be awesome. I think it's gonna be cool.
So I'm gonna be able to recognize Christian Bale, that's for sure. Definitely not.
That is true.
Yeah, if you saw the Batman the Penguin, Colin Farrell, like that was hard to recognize, but this is going to be impossible.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing like him.
You're right. Can't wait for the movies. But yeah, Moon Knight crutching it. He needs his own movie. But I do have
a few more things.
No, yeah, no, keep going, keep rolling. Yeah, no. We segue, but it was a good segue because it's really exciting. Sure. These movies are so close now. Like July and May are right around the corner.
Multiverse is going to break open again, but hopefully this time, for a while, so that we get all this crossover nonsense all the way until the end of the phase.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not
just the phase.
Maybe the whole saga.
The saga. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just want them to bring in the, Spider-Man multiverse crew.
Oh yeah, that would be Spider-verse. So cool.
So Across the Spider-Verse is coming out. Did we know that it was part one until recently?
Yes, they announced it as part one. Yeah.
I wasn't sure because I saw that in the trailer recently. I did not remember that. So yeah, we're getting at least two more.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Oscar Isaac is Spider-Man 2099 in that? Yes. So he's been three Marvel things. He's been Apocalypse, Moon Knight, and he's Spider-Man 2099 in those movies.
Mm-hmm. 2099 seems like a villain. It's just confusing to me. I guess we'll have to see what happens, but
yeah.
I don't really know much about the character, but I just assume it's a version of Spider-Man. He's got to be a good guy, but I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of mind control or something going on, or I just don't know the comics at all, and he's always been a villain. Guess we'll have to see.
We'll have to find out. I'm definitely seeing that movie. For sure.
Anyway, so back to Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple things that Arthur mentions that are worth talking about a little bit. So he says, when he's talking to the council, the Aeneid council, says no idea how many personalities he must possess. So that definitely seems like foreshadowing that there's going to be multiple additional personalities coming out. And that kind of adds to the discussion we had before about the possibility of another personality that isn't from the comics, that's going to be brand new to the MCU. So that kind of further backs that up, I think. And it also leaves the question of how many extra additional personalities are there? You know, because that makes it seem like there could be any number, right? So,
yep.
So we'll have to see how crazy they're going to go with it, how mad with power they're going to be. And then he also mentions when he arrives at Anton's site, when Layla and Mark are there investigating the sarcophagus, he mentions Layla's father's murder and implies that Mark is keeping something secret from Layla about that.
Yeah.
He doesn't directly say what it is, but it almost sounds like Mark helped with the murder or somehow made it come to fruition, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Yeah, you know, two things. Like he's responsible, or he has knowledge that would help her understand what happened more. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's one of the two things. Something like that. But I completely forgot about that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because they kind of touched on that twice on the episode. So that's something that's going to, there's going to be fruit. It's going to come to fruition in the season for sure. And that leads to what you mentioned about her father being a scarab. Good detective work.
We'll see what comes of it.
You're crushing it.
Thank you. All right, so now the rest of the Easter eggs that I haven't mentioned yet. So they reference the Overvoid when they're in the Great Pyramid of Giza, having their meeting with all the gods. They mention the Overvoid, and it's a little bit unclear exactly what that is, but it seems to be what is also known as the Celestial Heliopolis, which is the home dimension of the Egyptian gods. So that kind of explains a little bit why they're not really getting involved, because, you know, they have this nice cushy dimension they can just hang out in. They don't really care about what goes on in our dimension. We can blow ourselves up for all they care.
Must be nice.
Yep. So yeah, so that's all that really is. There's nothing else that they really mention for that, so we'll have to see what comes of that. Maybe we'll get to see the Overvoid at some point. That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it insinuates their detachment from us,
exactly.
From humanity and what's going on. So you hit the nail on the head for sure. They're in just a nice little space that, you know, they're in their bubble, you know, and you can't hurt the bubble. So who cares?
So I got three more. So Madripoor, there's a reference to that. I don't remember exactly when that came up. It was referring to a past encounter between Layla and Anton. When they met the guy at the front gate. I think his name was Ben or something, and he was just talking about their history and how they had stuff going on there. I don't remember, but anyway, they had something happening in Madripoor, and that's a reference to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Events of that show take place in Madripoor, and there's also a Madripoor flag shown in Shang-Chi at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably not a reference to Shang-Chi. It's a little bit more loose reference there, so it's probably a reference to Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
and it's going to come of it, but
I think it will. I think we revisit that place at some point in the MCU, because they're doing that for a reason. They're keeping it in our memory, keeping it in our mindset. You know, this area exists. You know, keep remembering that. So we're just going to drop a little bit to keep you along, so you don't completely forget. That's my guess, at least, because there seems like a lot could happen there. But isn't Sharon Carter there? Like, she's there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to revisit it, because I do still have that theory that her and Shang-Chi's sister are going to connect for sure.
Yeah, definitely could happen. All right. So then There's another reference to the Maldives. That's where they claim that they were on their honeymoon. I tried to see if that was a reference to anything. I don't know if it was, but, you know, just given the way that all Disney shows and movies are, pretty much everything is a reference to something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be nothing, but
right.
I couldn't find anything. Maybe it's a reference to something, maybe not. Yeah. And this other one, I was really trying to find where this name came from. Rufino Estrada, the alias that they gave Mark when they were when Layla was introducing him to Anton. So I looked it up. There's nobody by that name or even a similar name, and nobody really seems to, you know, from other articles that I've read, nobody really seems to know who that is. My guess is that it's an anagram for somebody that was involved in the show, but I looked through a bunch of names and couldn't find anybody that fit that.
Okay.
I feel like that's what it is, but it could be nothing, could be completely made up. But like I said, they don't just like throw names around willy-nilly. Pretty much everything mm-hmm. is a reference to something.
That's true. Yeah.
I honestly kind of want to throw that in an anagram on Scrambler to see what comes up. Could be something really cool.
That's true.
Could also not be a person, or, you know, could be like a character that they're trying to keep hidden or something. So I kind of want to look at that.
See what comes. Do it.
It's probably nothing. Probably just diving down the rabbit hole for no reason again, but,
but we'll see. One of these days it's going to be something.
Yeah.
So
if anybody knows what that's a reference to, definitely let me know. I'm very curious. But yeah, that's all I got. There weren't nearly as many Easter eggs in this episode, I thought, mm-hmm. compared to the last one. Because that last one had all those numbers that were references to other comics and stuff. There were so many Easter eggs in the last episode. This one didn't have nearly as many, but it was an awesome episode regardless. The action scenes and just the story progression, everything that was going on, the moments that made you think back on the previous episodes when they revealed that there was another identity, another personality that's taken over, just made you rethink a lot of things. And just, I forgot to mention this, but towards the end, that moment when they switched personalities, when Mark gave up control of the body to Steve so that Steve could solve the Egyptian puzzle, so they could track down Amit's tomb. I just love that moment. You got to see, like, within a couple of seconds of each other, you got to hear their voices, like, loud and clear, and that's like the most distinct that I've ever heard them. So it really gave you a better understanding of how, like, drastically different the characters are, not only by voice, but also their mannerisms. And I think the best moment that I've seen really showcasing that. At least I thought it was. You know, props to Oscar. He's doing an awesome job, and that moment there showed it better than most moments, in my opinion at least. And another role that he had to play in this episode, he got to play Khonshu, and he got to try his voice out. So it's yet another personality that he's, you know, that the actors has brought to life, and he did a really good job with it again, I think. I don't know if they told him to yell or if he just decided to do that. Maybe that's the only way that he could pull off that that voice. I don't know, but it was pretty great.
It was awesome. He is crushing the role, absolutely crushing the role, and he's definitely here to stay. Kevin Feige, man, knows how to pick him. I'll tell you. It's almost as if he sits back and just watches, like, when he's not, like, Marvel nonstop. He, like, sits back, you know, maybe has a drink, maybe doesn't. Probably has a really nice chair, really comfy chair, and then just watches whatever is going on right now that's, like, really hot, you know, movies, shows. And he's, like, and then he has, like, probably a pad of, like, everything that he thinks is going to come soon in the future. Oh, this person's going to be, oh, yeah. That I see like that's his homework, you know what I mean? Like, that sounds great. That's probably not how that goes, but, you know, they know how to pick them, honestly. Like, again, Like, I feel like we say this all the time, but it's so true. This is undoubtedly one of the reasons why Marvel is so successful. You know, yeah, they got the big bucks, Disney. Yeah. No, but the consistency of how they figure out which person in the plethora of hundreds and thousands of actors and actresses, and no, this one's going to be perfect for this role. This one's going to be perfect for this role. And they knock it out of the park almost every single time.
Yeah.
And I could never see any other person now as that character. Like, never, you know, and that's where it's fun with the variants and everything. Right. But there again, this is another just home run for Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight. And I just can't wait for the second half of the season. It's going to be incredible, hopefully. You know, I think it is. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, they lined up a lot of stuff here. There's a lot that could happen, and they're only halfway through. Just like last episode, it could, like, based on everything that's happened so far and what would need to happen to end the season, they could end it as soon as next episode. Obviously, they're not going to. They got 3 episodes left, but that just means there's going to have to be more stuff that's going to happen, more characters that are going to be introduced. So there's, you know, there's still a lot more to come. And we are going to find out who that third personality is.
Oh, yeah. I do. I think the final episode, I think the finale, that's the big. And then that's how, I think I was saying it like the first week or the last week.
Yeah, last week you were saying that.
Yeah, pops in at the end. Boom, cliffhanger. Whoa, crazy. Hook us. But then also, it's the perfect thing to like counterbalance the balance between Mark and Steven that have been earned throughout this entire season, right? Yeah, they're friends now. Yeah, they work together. Now they're like a hybrid team. All right, let's throw a wrench in there. Let's get them like really working together to have a third that's going to throw everything off. You know what I mean? It just makes sense, at least. But hey, we're not the writers, you know.
In the last episode, we were talking about, at least I was talking about, like, you know, what does Steven bring to the table? Because Mark is the, you know, he's got better control of, you know, the suit when he has it on because of his military training, and because of his training, he's better at, you know, things like tracking and I guess I don't know what else, combat and tracking and any other abilities that would be relevant for pretty much the vast majority of what they do. So we were talking about like what Steve would actually bring to the table, and this episode showed us he's basically the brain, but in a different way. He's kind of like the nerdy brain. Like, yep. You know, he's able to translate Egyptian writing, and he was able to solve that puzzle to help them find the tomb. So we got an answer to that. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to bring more to the table, but we have at least that going for him right now.
Oh, and yeah, he wasn't.
He's also very possibly the reason that Arthur didn't kill him in episode one. Right, because it was the like scale thing was going crazy, so he's probably the reason that it wasn't like bad, right? I was actually doing some research on Amit and the scales and all that, and it's just searching to see if you're pure,
yeah,
or not.
In her judgment,
I don't see how all those guys that pass judgment are pure. So I still feel like there's something else going on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Supposedly they're pure. And if that is actually the case, it's got to be because of Steve. So because Steve is pure of heart, he's the reason that that they're able to continue trying to stop Amit, because Arthur didn't kill them in the first episode. So another thing he brings to the table.
Yep. Can't wait. Cannot wait for the final three.
But my guess, though, is that we're going to see the third personality either next episode or the one after that. And then the last episode is just going to go crazy. And there's just going to be a whole bunch of personalities that are introduced all at once.
Yeah, that could very well be the case, too. We'll have to wait and see next Wednesday.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, yeah, we'll call it there. We'll be right back for our outro.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day. But for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you guys. Join us next time. In anticipation of the massive Doctor Strange sequel coming out in a few weeks, we're going back and taking a look at the original, the first Doctor Strange movie. We're also going to be doing Moon Knight episode 4. Not really sure which one's going to come out first, so you'll have to, wait and see. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Harbor fans, see you next week.